To City Lights on 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Erin Wright, in for Lois Reitzis. It's 11:24. Not every college course features Spodiodidopolicious on its syllabus, but one being taught now at Armstrong State University in Savannah is among the first. Dr. Regina Bradley, who is assistant professor of English at Armstrong, is teaching a course on Atlanta rap group OutKast. Since word of the course has spread, it has caught the attention of a number of media outlets, including The Root, Ebony Magazine, and Entertainment Weekly. Producer Mike John sat down with her to talk about what's being taught and about the attention being paid to the class.
You've literally gone viral.
It's been crazy.
Okay, so you are teaching a class about OutKast in Savannah. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
The name of the class is OutKast and the Rise of the Hip Hop South. It is looking at how, well, basically it's like a case study of how we can use OutKast to think about hip hop's influence and intervention in thinking about Southern Blackness after the Civil Rights Movement. So we are kind of going through their catalog and kind of pairing them with literary and cultural products that have come out of the South in the last 20, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So basically pairing their music with literature, with pop culture. So for example, students are looking at Kiese Layman's Long Division and putting that in conversation with Aquemini.
Wow.
Because he starts the book with an epithet from Aquemini, right?
Huh.
And kind of thinking through, you know, this idea of storytelling and what storytelling looks like. How did they present their story in the Art of Storytelling Part 1 and Part 2? And then how did Layman kind of pick up on that model with the story that he tells in the book about time traveling and, you know, Southern Black folks and protest in Mississippi? It's just really great. I'm just really excited to pair these things together. Be able to get paid doing it. It's great.
I mean, just hearing you describe it, I really want to audit this course.
Yeah, so does everybody else.
Yeah. So what do you think accounts for all of the attention being drawn your way just by, you know, by you teaching this class?
I don't even know. I'm so appreciative, though. Mostly it's been nothing but love and asking how do I audit the class, make it an online class. So I'm going to blog the class.
Okay.
So the first blog will come up and I'll have a couple of the readings that we're discussing and the listening exercises that we do in the class. So every class starts with us listening to an OutKast song and basically deconstructing it, breaking it down in terms of why did they use this instrumentation? Why did they have this in their lyrics? What kind of slang were they using? I'm honestly at a loss. I have no idea, but I'm so appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also kind of just shows, you know, how important OutKast is. You've had classes and books written on Nas and Tupac and Beyonce and Lil' Kim and Wu-Tang Clan. And very little attention has been paid to Southern artists who are considered iconic. So this is just me kind of dipping my toe in, so to speak, in terms of, okay, we've talked about all these other great artists, OutKast are iconic artists, so we need to have conversations about them as well.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to shout out Joycelyn Wilson,
because
she's also teaching the class on OutKast and trap music over at Georgia Tech. So,
oh, okay.
I just wanted to, you know, shout out. There's folks doing the work, and I'm just very appreciative, like I said, that folks have been paying me attention. I don't see how celebrities do it, though.
Yeah, I imagine your Twitter mentions have been blowing up.
Little bit.
Yeah.
Little bit.
Now, this is not coming out of nowhere.
That's right.
You just finished up recently your fellowship.
Yes.
At Harvard.
Mm-hmm. Harvard.
At Harvard University.
There it is.
Where you held the Nasir Jones fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about we spoke with you right before you went in.
Right.
For that right before you went to Boston. Can you talk about the work that you did while you were there?
Yeah, so looking back on it, my time at Harvard was such a blur. There's so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I got there in January, and I was working on the book, my book, Chronicling Stankonia, OutKast and the Rise of the Hip-Hop South. So I've been thinking about OutKast for a while now. And I got there, and I mean, like, for the most part, I was a research fellow, which means that I wasn't teaching. It was just me going into my office and making writing playlists and checking social media and writing.
Yeah.
And just having that freedom to just focus on my project was absolutely amazing. And getting to work with some of the most renowned African-American studies and cultural scholars in the world was great. I had to share my research at one point. It was well received. Folks said they had to dig out their CD books.
Oh, the old Case Logic binders.
And be like, oh, man, I haven't thought about Outkast in so long. And just being able to kind of, you know, spark that reinterest was awesome. And also just, you know, I also got to hear Toni Morrison lecture three times live, right? So my entire life was made. That was awesome.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, your work at Harvard translates to the class you're teaching in,
right,
you know, really obvious ways. But at the same time, it's a college course. Can you talk to me about the preparations that you've had to do to get ready for the class?
Well, you know, it was so hard. I had to go back and listen to the Outkast albums again. So hard, right? yeah, I think the biggest thing was one of the questions that I've gotten a lot is, you know, did I have any pushback against from Armstrong to have the class? And I haven't had any at all. It was really great. I just kind of went to my chair, Dr. Beth Howells, and I was like, I think I want to teach this class on Southern hip hop with a focus on Outkast. And she was like, go for it. So that was great. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately the biggest preparation has been finding ways to pair the texts together. So, you know, kind of thinking through not only what types of texts, because it is a literature class, so we are looking at, you know, real literature. And pairing them with particular albums was kind of fun. It was fun. It wasn't necessarily challenging. It was fun. But also including journalism, because there isn't that much scholarship and critical writing on Southern hip-hop, right? So looking at Rodney Carmichael and Gavin Godfrey and Christina Lee and Maurice Garland, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of like, okay, let me see what they're talking about journalistically. How can I make that part of this critical discourse that I'm trying to build with this class?
Yeah, Rodney, Gavin, and Christina being a trio of journalists based here in Atlanta, well, for right now, based here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
The three of them did the...
Straight Outta Stankonia.
The 5 Points podcast.
And 5 Points podcast, yeah. So I just was not necessarily scrambling to find, you know, sources, but just trying to find a way to really put all of these texts in conversation with each other was the biggest preparation that I had to do. And I had a lot of fun doing it, so.
I bet. It sounds like it.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Okay, so we've talked a little bit about, you know, like kind of covered the syllabus a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about what it is by the end of the course, what you're hoping students take away?
All my students need to be Outkast fans by the time they leave my class. No. I just hope students will have a newfound appreciation for thinking about popular culture as a site for critical inquiry and interrogation. Mm-hmm. How can we use popular culture to think through these questions of race, questions of class, questions of identity that are otherwise kind of the conversations I had, but they're overlooked, especially when it comes to the contemporary South. I just want students to be able to kind of put those tools together. I'm also a sound studies scholar, so I'm really pushing students to think through what they're listening to and, you know, what they're listening to outside of just the lyrics, right? What does the accompaniment mean? What does the ad-libs mean, right? And Outkast has a whole slew of ad-libs, which is really great, right? And then, you know, I'm also kind of talking about how when they first started off, they were produced by Organized Noize. And as they kind of got into the swing of things, so to speak, they went from Organized Noize to their own production team called Earth Tone 3. And, you know, did the sound change? And if the sound changed, what does that do for the actual music? What does it do for the message that the music is trying to get through? So just challenging students about their ideas about popular culture and also what they think a text is and what it isn't. Normally we think about a text, we think about something in between two covers, something that's typeset. But music is a text, and ad-libs are a text, and sound is a text. So really kind of challenging students to put all of these things together to complicate their ideas about the kind of work that popular culture can do.
As I'm talking to you, you've had the classes met twice.
Twice.
Can you talk about a little bit about the reaction from students, like the kind of discussions that you've been sparking in class?
Well, We had our initial Who is Outkast. I had a couple of students who were like, I've never heard of Outkast, which was cool.
How does somebody who's never heard of Outkast wind up in an Outkast class?
Well, they love me.
Gotcha.
I mean, like they said, they had heard about the way that I teach class. I have a lecture-based discussion group kind of class. So perhaps that's the way that they wanted to learn. But yeah, kind of thinking about, you know, Outkast, and we had a conversation about what Outkast means, and they're like, you think you mean to mean something? I'm like, yes. So we listened to the True Dat interlude on Southern Playlist at Cadillac Music, where Reuben Bailey, aka Big Rube, broke down what Outkast means.
Operating under the crooked American system too long. Outkast, pronounced Outkast, adjective meaning homeless or unaccepted in society. But let's look deeper than that. Are you an outcast? If you understand and feel the basic principles and fundamental truths contained within this music, you probably are.
Operating under the crooked American system too long, Outkast. And that just kind of blew their minds. So that was great. And then the second day, we did our first listening exercise. So we listened to Get Up, Get Out.
Whole country, thinking that my city is the big lick for 96, 94, Big Gip, Goody Mo, Outkast, a vision from the past. Hootie, hootie. White owls are burning kind of slow. You need to get up, get out, and get something. Don't let the days of your life pass by.
I've never had an academic conversation about white owl cigarillos. And that was great. I think that's like one of the best things I've ever done. I mean, it was a very interesting conversation about, you know, white owls and class and region. It was great. And I was like, oh, okay, so we can have these types of conversations. This is great. They also talked about, you know, they heard the blues in that song, the blues aesthetics. They heard the guitars, and they heard kind of like this particular bluesy chords that are throughout the entire song. So it was great. Yeah, I mean, just having students kind of pick out these things that they hear and putting them in conversation is important, especially for those students who are like, I'm from Atlanta, I lived in Atlanta, I never thought about this. Or I'm from Atlanta, of course I know what this is. And just actually being able to have those conversations in class.
That was Dr. Regina Bradley speaking with producer Mike Johns. Dr. Bradley is currently at work on her first book, Chronicling Stankonia, Outkast and the Rise of the Hip Hop South.